Enter Kinder through the internet at www.spiritfmonline.com to all parts of Africa, Europe, Asia, Antarctica, Middle East, and the Americas. Spirit FM, positive soul music.
You're listening to the new Spirit FM, Christian hit music.
I hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM. 60 minutes of news, prophecies, music, and the Word every Saturday from 8 to 9 p.m. Get revived, inspired, motivated, and warned about the times we are living in. Prophecies of old are unfolding right before our eyes every day. Verses in the Bible are today's headline news. Don't be ignorant, but be an informed believer. Join Brother Eben for the next 60 minutes and be blessed. Get this edition and others from spiritissues.info.
We'll be going home.
Good evening to our listeners. Thank you for tuning in to Spirit 88.3 FM, the program Issues of Life. I'm Eben, and I'll be with you from now till 9 p.m. It's always a pleasure to come your way on Saturday evenings, and this night we have quite a lot of things to talk about in the news, as well as continuing the series on deception, as we've had for the last 10 weeks or so. We'll be continuing tonight as well. You know, last week Saturday, the big one, the U.S. Assassination attempt on Trump, and coming on this week has been a lot of things. Yesterday, Israel, massive attack. Surprise one from the Houthi rebels. Iranian drone bypasses the Israeli security. You know, I mean, the world, the tension, it seems like whilst people are quietly thinking of themselves, some people are also always looking for trouble. And that's how the world is. That's how the world, the Bible has told us, the times, I mean, wars, rumors of wars, and all these things are prophesied events that we cannot stop. And so as believers, we just have to know the times we are in, and we pray to God for his wisdom, his direction, his protection. Ultimately, I mean, there's nothing like divine protection. I mean, and I believe these are the times we need it more than ever before, because evil is on the ascendancy. And when evil rises, our safer security is not the government security, but the divine security. And I believe it's important we, as believers, ensure that we have God's protection. And that's the most important thing we can think of whenever you feel threatened, you feel afraid, and all that. That is what we can bank our hopes on. And so it's important we know these things as well. All right, so let's get moving with this first news. Powerful 7.3 magnitude quake strikes in Chile. And that was on earlier in the week. No, I think 2 days or so ago. And that 7.3, it looks like it didn't cause much harm and destruction. So, and then we have the next one. Russia warns Israel of dramatic consequences over its strikes in Syria. So Russian Foreign Ministry spokeswoman Maria Zakharova warns that the Israeli regime's strikes against Syria will escalate tensions in the region and push it to a dangerous abyss. Speaking to reporters during the briefing on Friday, Zakharova said Russia condemns the recent Israeli aggression against the Mediterranean coastal city of Banias in the northwestern province of Tartus. She added that Israeli aviation carried out the strikes late on Monday under the pretext of arms deposits located there. "We categorically condemn such irresponsible actions. They increase the probability of the spread of the Middle Eastern conflict and push the region to a dangerous abyss," the Russian spokesperson said. Then the next news says Putin warns that Europe's capitals will be targeted if U.S. deployment of missiles are made to Germany. That's interesting. Vladimir Putin has vowed to target European capitals in a furious tirade as the U.S. seeks to deploy hypersonic missiles to Germany. The Cold War-style standoff could spark World War III as Russia tries to bully the West into backing down. Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov threatened the citizens of countries which could end up hosting the American missiles. Peskov said, "We, Russia, have enough capacity to contain these missiles, but the potential victims are the capitals of these countries." Putin's mouthpiece said the missiles created a paradox where Europe is a target for our missiles. Our country is a target for the U.S. missiles in Europe. The missiles, Tomahawk Cruise and SM-6S, have significantly longer range than what the U.S. currently has in Europe, according to the BBC. Then last night, Tel Aviv reports, the news says, the headline says, explosive drone from Yemen hits Tel Aviv apartment, killing one man, wounding several others. Military says the UAV, that's unmanned aerial vehicle, was identified but not shot down by air defenses, and sirens were not activated due to human error. Iran-backed Houthis claimed the attack and vowed to continue targeting Tel Aviv. And this one has, I mean, you look at the, follow the Israeli news networks, it's a big, big, big issue, because if this could bypass the security systems, and assuming they had more than one, that could have been a bit more serious then. And that's, so the question now is, they did bypass the security, but now they are saying that it's human error. So, but then it's still worrying, and Israel didn't delay in retaliating. And so this news comes today. It says that IDF jets target Houthi regime in strike on Hodeidah energy infrastructure. So IDF fighter jets struck Houthi military targets in the area of Hodeidah port in Yemen, the IDF confirmed Saturday evening. Israeli airstrikes reportedly targeted oil refinery facilities in Yemen's Hodeidah, according to the Houthi-run Yemeni news outlet Al Masira. Local sources in Yemen told Hezbollah-affiliated Al Mayadeen that there are power outages in several areas in Hodeidah as the result of the Israeli strikes that hit an electricity production plant. Israel's defense ministry reported that discussions on approving the operational plans to strike in Yemen took place on Saturday morning under the lead of Defense Minister Yoav Gallant, alongside IDF Chief of Staff Hezi Halevi and other senior defense officials. So technically, now Israel takes the war beyond its borders, far to Yemen, about 2,000 kilometers away. So this war seems, because the Yemen, the Houthi rebels, they will retaliate, certainly. They've been firing at cruise ships and cargo ships, tankers passing through the Gulf of Aden. This week they fired again. Last week they sank one ship. I mean, they are really causing a lot of problems in the shipping industry. So now, some of the big shipping lines like Maersk and others, instead of passing through the Suez Canal, the Gulf of Aden and the Suez Canal, which is shorter if they are moving from Asia through to Europe, now they have to, from Asia, either from Asia or from Europe, either vice versa, whichever way, they have to now come down to South Africa, come and pass through West Africa, up to Europe. So you can imagine the costs, and some estimates have it that it's tripling the cost of shipping along some of those routes. But it's all because of this war, which seems to have no end in sight at the moment. All right, then the World Court, that is the UN's court, International Court of Justice, has ruled that Israeli presence in East Jerusalem and West Bank is illegal and must end. So the ICJ says that Israel's actions in West Bank amount to de facto annexation, calls for end of Israeli control, And the Prime Minister says that he slammed the decision and says the Jewish people are not occupiers in their own land. So this, the whole hatred and the tension and the backfiring and saying this against Israel and all that, it's just on and on. Then the next one, yesterday, for those who follow the news, there was this big tech outage worldwide, strikes, banks, airlines and companies worldwide. This is actually one report, or the reports have it, that this is the most serious IT failure ever seen. And it shuts, flights cancelled and all in a lot of airports. Even we in Ghana, it didn't affect our airports, but the flights moving from here or coming from, you know, the other airports, so it still affected traffic flow from our airports to and fro. Yesterday, I was jokingly telling one friend, IT colleague, that the fact that our systems as a country, we didn't go down. Unless you really follow the world news, you wouldn't have known that something has happened in the world. It means that we have a long way to go as a country when it comes to IT, because it didn't make any, our banks, everything was working. And it's one of the things that happened. But you see, it raises another question as to, yesterday we were discussing this with some people. In as much as I'm into IT and all that, I vehemently don't support the fact that society should go cashless, because, yesterday in the UK, some shops were now having to receive cash because they couldn't receive digital payments, You see, when you are pushing the world, everything to be cashless society, and system glitches like what happened yesterday does happen. It makes life. So I think earlier this year, one of the Scandinavian countries, they've agreed in principle as a country that they are not going to go 100% cashless because of things like this. And I believe it's common sense to know that you can't bank all your hopes on digitization. You would have to make room for some manual issues, That's how life, you see, in as much as good, yes, but if you think that is all there is and you want to bank your hopes on everything to just push it to cashless, the day systems go down, how can society function? Anyway, so let's get to the next news item, where we have some persecution. Hindu extremists seize Bibles from children and beat women in attack on worship service. And this is Hyderabad in India. It's one of the places where persecution is rife. Christians are really, really on the receiving end of these attacks. Worship services at a church in a village in central India's Madhya Pradesh state has been suspended since Hindu extremists attacked the congregation on June 1st, according to sources. The mob of about 20 villagers led by members of the Hindu extremist Bhangrai Dai intruded into the house of the pastor and in the village, and then disrupting worship service, beating 50 people gathered for fasting prayers, including children and women, and seize their Bibles and all that. These are common reports that come. If you read the persecution reports, India is always in the news. Some of these places is terrible. So it's not surprising that the next news says that U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom urges State Department, that the U.S. State Department, to add Pakistan to the CPC list of worst violators of religious freedom. And they have a list, they prepare a report every year, the list, the countries that are of primary concern and all that. So country of particular concern, Pakistan, they are calling on the U.S. State Department to add Pakistan as well. India is already on, and other countries, Nigeria and all that, they are all in that list, because the persecution of Christians in northern Nigeria especially is terrible. It's making Nigeria having a very bad representation when it comes to this persecution watch list. And it's unfortunate, but it's like the government is just at its wit's end. It's like nothing can be done, but you see, that's one of the things Christians have to understand, that the government's ineptitude towards this whole thing, this current government and then the previous, it just shows how when Christians underestimate some of these things, they pay a price for it. And that's it. I mean, it's unfortunate, but Nigeria's case is something else. So this watch list, so the commission is urging the government to do something about this. Current U.S. government doesn't really care much about Christian persecution, unlike the previous, you know. So, well, let's see what happens with that. Then a quick one to California, where, as for their governor, something else. Governor Newsom signs a bill that prohibits school districts from having policies requiring parents to be notified if their child identifies as transgender. So you have this California governor on Monday signed a bill that prohibits school districts from having policies that require parents to be notified if their child identifies as a transgender. And the passage of the bill comes after several school districts across the state put parental notification policies in place. Some of these policies have been challenged in court. The law prevents districts from requiring staff to disclose a student's sexual orientation, gender identity, or gender expression without the student's consent. It sparked heated debates in the capital this year. A couple of weeks ago, debate between the lawmakers and almost turned into violence over the bill. The politically motivated attacks on the rights, safety, and dignity of transgender, non-binary, and other LGBTQ youth are on the rise nationwide, including California, said the bill's author, Assembly Member Chris Ward, Democrat, of course, San Diego. So while some school districts have adopted policies to forcibly out students, the Safety Act ensures that discussions about gender identity remain a private matter within the family. As a parent, I urge all parents to talk to their children, listen to them, and love them unconditionally for who they are. So this whole bill now makes it easier for a child to hide their transition process. So you have a boy, you have a girl, you know you have a boy, you have a girl as a child. And by the time you realize your boy is transforming into a girl right under your nose in the house, or vice versa. And it's like the school has kept it a secret. Surgeries have started, or surgeries have been various levels. You know, the surgeries, they have various stages. Drugs are given in various stages. The drugs that suppress the hormones. So if you're a boy that wants to become a girl, they give you drugs that suppresses your testosterone, male hormones. Then they give you drugs that increases female hormones in you. I mean, this all this stuff will be happening at the blind side of the parents. And this law now makes it mandatory that the school should hide it from parents. Oh, it's bad. But this one, we are talking of the US. This week, we had a shocker in Ghana. And our own University of Ghana, Legon. I just don't know what has come over them. Let me read that one. So we have this headline: University of Ghana embraces gender inclusivity with revised statutes. I just couldn't believe when I saw the news, and I was like, what's the University of Ghana has revised its statutes to enhance gender inclusivity. As soon as you hear gender inclusivity, then you know that red flag. There we go. According to Professor Gordon Akanzuwine Awandari, Pro Vice Chancellor in charge of academic and student affairs, Prof. Awandari made this announcement during the university's launch of a new 5-year strategic plan, along with unveiling of revised statutes and updated human resource and administrative procedures on Wednesday, July 17th at the Great Hall. Prof. Awandari explained that the new statutes will incorporate gender-neutral pronouns. The things we've been hearing, I've been reading news, US, UK, and other countries. Now, our own University of Ghana, Legon, our premier university, has fallen for this absurdity. So, they say that they are incorporating gender-neutral pronouns instead of using he or she exclusively. In Ghana here, Ghana, Legon. It's terrible. One of the significant changes is our shift towards gender-inclusive stance. The language has been updated to reflect more inclusive terms, moving away from solely he or she references. I mean, this is what I don't understand. So, are they saying that they also now want to hear a boy or a man saying that I'm she? My pronouns now are he, she and her, or I'm them and they, as some people, and a singular individual says I'm they and them. I mean, for those people there, it's obvious. Demons have filled them to the capacity that is like they are now a plural. So, but then you see, if you go this way, you open the floodgates. So he stated that the revision aims to align the university's laws with current and emerging national. We don't have any emerging national discussion on it. You see, so listen. He said the university. The revision aims to align the university's laws with current and emerging national and institutional policies and processes. Which national policy in Ghana makes room for this gender inclusivity? Already, the parliament is seeking to, I mean, bring a law to even curb all this nonsense. And then you have this university now saying that they are doing this. I mean, it's unfortunate. Parliament is on break, so this issue, but I believe when they resume, Honorable Sam Jordan is like, will really, really bring this thing up. The revision is in furtherance of the Vice-Chancellor's vision, which is to make the institute a vibrant and responsive governance and management system, and also update and align the statutes with current and emerging national and university level policies and operational processes. I mean, come on. The previous statutes established in 2014 already included provisions to promote gender inclusivity, aiming to foster an environment free for gender-based discrimination and bias. These statutes underscore the university's commitment to equality, diversity, and inclusion in all facets of its culture. I mean, goes on and on. But then, see, this gender, as soon as you go gender inclusivity, you open the floodgates. Somebody can say that, fine, now my preferred pronouns should be. Now you say it's more than he or she. You are going to accept anything more than he or she. So a man will say I'm now she, or they. Or, I mean, they have these funny words they use, X, I, R, Z, and Z, and all these funny words. People just, I mean, they just use these words, the gender, I mean, fluidity and all that. But if we go this way, doesn't that mean that a man can also say that she, I mean, he is a she, so he, she wants to go to a female washroom? Is the university going to allow that? If a lady says she feels like a man, so wants to go to the gents, what is the university going to say about these things? You see, when you start threading on this slippery road of this gender thing, you end up looking foolish, because, I mean, you realize you've touched something which you shouldn't have even started at all. And that is exactly where the university is headed, because once you open the floodgates for gender inclusivity, everything else comes in. So we are here in Ghana. Unless government steps in, parliament raises issues and they are called to come and explain and whatever. But, you know, if destiny is to stand, it becomes a very bad example, because when Legon does it successfully, and we just have to pray that the others will not follow suit. But you see, I believe there might be some pressure from, you know, Legon engages in a lot of foreign exchange students coming, professors and all coming, you know. I will not be surprised this pressure is coming from these international partnerships, you know, and, you know, some of these things also come with some dollars and things. It will not be surprising that there's some money that has pushed this to happen, because if we want to satisfy our partners, our donor partners, our whatever partners, then you have to bend your rules, even against your cultural values, just to suit some people. And it's unfortunate, but it looks that way. Because, I mean, I didn't imagine that University of Ghana would go gender inclusive. And I just wish parents, and it's unfortunate, but it looks like, I mean, the media is quiet about it. I've not heard, apart from Joy FM that reported this news, I've not heard it, seen it on any network. I've not heard it being discussed anywhere. You know, so it shows how it's just gone under quietly. And by the time I realize, well, it has, I mean, is there a standing order? It's just there. And it's just being applied. And parents should understand some of these things. And, you know, we have to let our children understand this. See, when a child, your child then is going to an environment where gender inclusivity is allowed, you should know that anything can be expected. Oh, yes. On the surface, it may look, oh, it doesn't matter. It's just policy, just a policy. But, you know, a policy is always a doorway that emboldens people to do the abnormal. And that's all they've been seeking to do, like be able to, let's amend the laws, let's do this so that we can allow our people. And we know how these people operate, these LGBT gangs, I mean, their supporters, and, you know, their rich, partners and all. So, you see, when you start, you see institutions, the issue is who in Ghana put pressure, on the University Council, the Vice-Chancellor, the Chancellor. Who in Ghana, which Ghanaian put pressure on them that they should change and become gender inclusive? I don't think any Ghanaian was putting pressure on them. Clearly, it's an external pressure that they have allowed it to influence their decision. And that's where we are. It's really, really bad. But, well, not too surprising, though, in the times we are in, anything is possible. All right, so the last news item, and then I'm done for the news. We have a growing number of parents are refusing to give their children smartphones. And for those parents, well done. Congratulations. Good step in the right direction. The evidence linking smartphone use with mental health harms in children is growing. And one grassroots organization in the UK is supporting parents who are refraining from giving their kids their devices. Smartphone Free Childhood, founded by Daisy Greenwell and Claire Ferrido, in February set up various group chats for parents locally across the UK and grew it to 60,000 members in a few weeks, according to its website. Interest in the movement is driven by concerns about the normalization of children with smartphones. By age 12, 97% of children in the UK have a mobile phone, according to Oxfam, the government-approved regulator for the use of communication services in the UK. Meanwhile, in the US, 42% of children had a smartphone by age 10, climbing to 91% by age 14, according to 2021 report by Common Sense, which surveyed 1,306 young people in the US between age 8 to 18. Parents are giving their children smartphones in an increasingly online world for various reasons, including entertainment purposes, to keep track of their location, to stay in touch with them when they leave the home. However, studies and experts highlight this is opening up the door to social media and possible mental health harms. SFC aims to unite parents who are not giving their children smartphones to alleviate the peer pressure and isolation they might feel. Its success has seen it expand internationally, with groups set up in US, Australia, and the United Arab Emirates, Brazil, Canada, South Africa, and various other countries. Just days after the SFC campaign was launched, the UK government, the Time at the time, led by the Conservative Party, issued new guidance prohibiting the use of smartphones in schools and during break times. Some places in the U.S., like Los Angeles and states of Florida and Indiana, have issued bans on mobile phones in schools. Other independent organizations are being set up globally, including Austin-based Wait Until 8th, Unplugged, and then Unplugged in Canada, and then No Ease Momento in Mexico, and Heads Up Alliance in Australia. Okay, so these are organizations, okay. And then, however, some academics and scientists remain unconvinced that smartphones and poor mental health are linked. Psychology professor Christopher Ferguson told NBC News earlier this year that society tends to react negatively to new technologies and its potential harms, from TVs to video games and more recently AI. And then goes on and on. I mean, you would always have the opposing views, but then the evidence is also there. We have cases of suicide, depression, and it's all related to access to devices, social media, and all. So, you know, the harm that this thing is causing, teachers are complaining of children not paying attention in classes. I mean, you know, in the U.S., for instance, places where children can use their phones in class. You know, I read one news report a few weeks or so ago where a teacher had to resign because, I mean, the children, virtually you are standing in class teaching and every child is looking at their phone whilst you are teaching. I mean, it's like, what is the use? And you can't correct them, you can't seize the phone, you can't reprimand them. It's like, you know, some parts of you is just horrible. So this teacher eventually resigned as a teacher because the stress of just standing there teaching and everybody is staring at their phones, it's something. So she just, and it's just happening. The addiction level is serious. A friend was telling me of a neighbor who, this neighbor has given the phone to the girl in, I think, GHS one or something, and this girl can use the phone till 1 a.m. and this same girl will be going to school in the morning, and that late. And best friend happened to know about it, and she was advising this parent, blah blah blah. And it's like, I mean, is it the harm? This is the stage where the formative ages of this child, that you need to really put some measures in place to correct her in growing up. But if you are allowing these destructive habits and lifestyles to creep in, it becomes serious. I remember just two or three weeks ago, a parent in church were discussing it just came up in a discussion. So she told me that her daughter is, they are writing the BEC, and this girl will be holding the phone, I mean, everywhere, instead of learning. And when she takes it, there's trouble at home and all that. And in her case, it became complicated because the father bought the phone for the girl, and when the mother takes it, the father becomes angry that, why have you taken the phone, give it to her. I mean, this confusing issue. So I should come in. So I spoke to the girl, advised her that, you know, there's a time for everything and all that. And so she heeded to my advice and put it aside, give the phone to the mother and all, just to, you know, concentrate on the exams, you know. But you see, this is some of the confusion that comes in homes where even parents cannot agree on these things. So mother knows this is the right thing to do to help this child, and the father too says, no, I bought it for her, let her have her freedom. I mean, how? But these are the realities. We hear some of, you hear some of these things, and it's very disheartening. But it's my prayer that at least those who listen to these reports I talk about on this program, digital parenting, past editions, the things I spoke and all that, would take heed to these things, because the harm is, you see, we can pretend it's not causing any harm, but the issue, the reality is, it's causing a lot of harm. It is causing a lot of harm. All right. So the program is Issues of Life. I'm Eben. I'll be back after this short break.
Till I reach forever bow and worship you. Just a little, not just a part of me. Till you wipe all tears and there's no more pain, I will forever bow and worship you. Till you crack the sky and the day, I will forever bow and worship you. Said I'll give you more than this. I'll give you more than this. Not just a little, not just a part of. Not just a little, not just a part of me. Everything I will lay it down at your feet. My whole life poured out in offering. Lord,
just a part of me, but I'll give you more.
Say more than this. I'll give you more. Ooh. More than this. Not just a little, not just a
more. Welcome back to the lives of incredibly important people. We have in the studio today Theodore Hallister, who will provide insight to the life of his father, Robert Ace Hallister.
Thanks. I don't know why you want to talk about my dad.
Well, people generally want to know anything they can about really important people like Nobel Peace Prize winners.
My dad won a Nobel Peace Prize?
Yes, General Hallister was famous for his peace treaties.
My dad was a general?
Yes, in the army. You didn't know that?
Well, we moved a lot. I just thought he really liked to wear green. How do you know all this?
Why, it's in your father's autobiography.
He wrote a book?
Yes, it was on the bestsellers list 4 months in a row. Millions read his book, My Life After Conquering Everest.
My dad climbed a mountain?
I take it you didn't really get to know your dad.
God is present and active in your life. Are you taking time to really know him? Another message from Lifeline Productions, the comic strip of radio, at lifelinepro.com.
Well, very good one there. Do we know that? Heaven? All right, welcome back to Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM. I'm Eben, and we continue our discussion on deception. Beware of the deception. We've gone through 10 points. Tonight, we're going through the 11th. And briefly, the first one, beware of how we trust men or trust any man. Be Bible students, like not going to Bible school, but study the Bible, have discernment, and then allow the Holy Spirit, which is also the Spirit of Truth, to guide you. Walk in wisdom, then desire to grow spiritually. We must have the mindset to be resolute in our beliefs, and then look out for the deceivers. Number 9, test the spirits. Number 10, last week, beware of strange doctrines. And tonight, number 11, knowledge of the times. You know, having the knowledge of the times. You know, 2 Timothy 4, 3 to 4, it says that, for the time will come when men, they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned into fables. For the time will come. And if you look at this, the landscape now, you can safely say that that time has indeed come. And, you know, having knowledge about the times is very important. You know, we were forewarned by Jesus, and then we also have Paul warning us here about deception in the latter times, the last end times. So when we are aware that there's a season of deception that will come upon the world and upon the church, we become wiser, and we'll be alert, we'll be prompted when we see that season. You know, this knowledge is important because, you know, it serves as an alert that we should be cautious. You know, just like you are driving and you see a warning sign, maybe road works ahead, slow down to 20 kilometers per hour or something. You know, it's a caution for you to change your way of movement, your speed, or be on the lookout. So when we see the times, we have knowledge of the times. And having the knowledge of what will be happening in the times in terms of the prophecies given with that about the deception and all that, we become careful. So that when you see things, you are not taken off guard. You know, see, people just want to hear what pleases them. And that's exactly what this verse talks about. That people don't want sound doctrine again. Just tell us anything. I mean, you see some videos and how the rooms are packed. You ask yourself, so what is wrong with these people? What is wrong with these people? I mean, it's just like, some churches are basically just like comedy show. There's no preaching. It's just pastor just ranting and saying, I mean, nothing really. You know, I see a video like this, I grab that woman, and it's like, as to how people would, on a Sunday, say they are going to a church to sit under this woman. It's amazing. But we are seeing it. And the type of preachers like her type, who they don't preach, they just ramble things, just say things, no head and tail of what they say. And people are happy, they dance, sing, dance and celebrate. I mean, that is church for them. Nothing, no word, nothing. You see, so people are just not enduring sound doctrine again. You know, this week I saw one video, this Nigerian preacher saying that there is no heaven, there are no mansions in heaven, there is no heaven, and it's like, come on. You see, I mean, when you are in such a church, and you hear your pastor say such a thing, and the next Sunday you still go to church, then there's something wrong with you. Because clearly, what Bible are you reading? If he is not reading his Bible, what about you? So if a pastor tells you that there's no heaven, there are no mansions in heaven, whereas if you read John 14, it's clear. I mean, why then would you believe your pastor over what the Bible has said, even the words of Jesus? You know, let me read just for the sake of this discussion. John 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Verse 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. I mean, so what is this? You don't need PhD in linguistics to understand these words that I've read. I mean, you don't need to be a scholar in English, high-learned scholar in English, to be able to understand this simple, description that Jesus gave. In my Father's house are many mansions. Now, the next part's significant. If it were not so, I would have told you. So, you see, for this pastor to say that there is no heaven and there are no mansions in heaven means Jesus is a liar. But you see, the irony is, this same person says this, and yet he's still preaching in the name of Jesus. He's still mentioning Jesus' name. So, you see how confused this whole thing looks like. In one breath, you are saying Jesus is a liar. Because to say that, to negate and to, quote-unquote, rubbish what Jesus has said, to say that it's not true, that means you say he's a liar. But yet you are preaching in his name. You are still doing what you are doing in his name. But you see, this is what it is. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. I mean, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, you know, and the way, you know. And then verse 6 goes on and said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you read these verses and somebody tells you there is no heaven, there are no mansions in heaven, why would you want to believe that man and ignore the red-lettered words of Jesus? But sadly, this church is full. People are sitting in church and they will continue to go. And people are following online and they are happy about it. You see, so it tells you that we are in that season where people don't want the truth again. Just tell us what we want to hear. What we feel is the truth, not what is the truth. So it's about what we accept as the truth, but not what should be the truth itself. So it's about, we are more of people, the society is now seeking convenient truth. So what is convenient? We accept it as truth. So a doctrine like there's nothing wrong with fornication. I mean, it's a very convenient one that people would gladly embrace. And of course, they are doing so. That, your future sins, everything forgiven, so you can live anyhow. Don't worry. Don't feel bad when you are sinning. Don't feel wrong. Don't feel sorry. Just feel free and live your life. If fornication, do it, whatever, because you've been forgiven already. So you see, people are happy and embrace it. because it makes it very convenient to be a Christian. No self-control needed, no resistance to sin, no resistance to temptation, no, just feel free, feel good, and do whatever you feel like. You see, so this sound doctrine has been turned away, and people are just following the junk of things that makes people feel good in their sins, not striving to live right, just please our flesh, anything the flesh desires, just please it, because we are being told that this is the way. It's a very convenient way. You see, it's like instead of you going through the narrow way, no, you come and be on the broad way and feel good, enjoy yourself. And then sometimes when you are driving, and some people, instead of maybe being in the lane, they want to be in the other lane, and then when they are getting close to the traffic light, then they want to cross and come in. You see, that's how some people want to treat Christianity. So we'll be on the Broadway, and then we think that, oh, when we are about to die, suddenly then we'll sneak in and then come and join the narrow way. You know, we cannot outsmart God. We cannot outsmart God. And people actually say these things. You know, that's if you get the chance to have a long period of pre-death period where you can confess and repent. What if you just die suddenly in an accident? A car knocks you, suddenly you die. When are you going to repent and turn from the broad way to the narrow way? You see, this is how the devil is deceiving modern day the youth. Oh, feel free. You can be, just enjoy life. I mean, you are still young. You are still young. Enjoy life. When you are getting older, then, you know, you repent. You know, people have this mindset because they are being told, some people are preaching these twisted things to them. And that's how dangerous it is. So people don't endure sound doctrine again. They just accept anything that makes life very convenient. So it's like, just pick your identity as a Christian. I mean, yeah, just call yourself a Christian, but don't live as a Christian. So we have this duality of people who say they are Christians, but yet nothing about them is Christ-like. So they just bear the name Christian. When they fail a form, religion, Christian. I mean, when you ask, oh, are you a Christian? Yes, I'm a Christian. But there's nothing about Christ about the person. Nothing. From his speech to his lifestyle to his behavior to everything, there's nothing Christ-like about the person. He doesn't even, his Bible is dusty. He doesn't even read the Bible. He doesn't even pray. Nothing. But the same person, oh, Christians, all Christians in the house, lift up your hands. Hey, he's a Christian. He'll lift up the hands. Because they just want to identify as something. You know, so this is how bad it is. So 31st night, they'll be in the church. These are the people who will be in the church 31st night. As soon as they finish the prayer, the blessings for the new year, oh, they sneak out then to the pub or to the nightclub to go and continue the 1st of January day. You see, but these people say they are Christians. They are one category. But we who say we are practicing the Christ-like life, who sometimes want to be like these people, we should be careful, because it is dangerous to, I mean, sneak in and out, thinking, oh, you can go and come. One day you go and you can't come back. One day you go and you cannot come back. You know, so we have to be careful about how we accept the truth, the word of God being the standard truth that we should abide by and live our lives according to the principles of the word of God. You see, because we are hearing a lot of things out there, and we are going to hear more, as I've been warning, I started this series, that as for the deception, we are going to hear and see far more dangerous things that would be convincing to deceive. So we should be well guarded and well grounded in the word of God. Now that's the calm, the storm is a bit calm, because when the rough seas really start, the rough seas of deception start moving, a lot of believers will be swept off guard. Their feet will be swept, they will swept off their feet, because there will be doctrines that will be convincing, backed by, you know, deception, deceptive miracles, which are mind-blowing. As Jesus said, you know, if it were possible, the very elect, I mean, the very easy can be deceived. If it were possible. And that should give us an idea how close it will be in your mind to debate, is this from God or not? Is this true or false? Is this, it will be so convincing that if you are not careful, you will say, no, this man is from God. Because the miracles will be so outstanding. That time I talked about one man who the Lord showed some of the things that will be happening, where body parts that are scattered will be put together and the life will come into the person. How can you tell somebody that this man who did this is not from God? I mean, people will say that you are mad. Yes, but that's how it will be. The people who are operating in the falsehood will be doing some of these wild miracles. You see, so when people see such things, it doesn't matter what they say. It doesn't matter the falsehood they preach. People will be convinced by the power that they would exhibit. Because the devil would allow, will give some levels of power in those days as well. And that's where the danger lies. You see, so we should understand the season that we are in, the times we are in, and live in that wisdom of, is it just like you are living, working at a place, if you watch war movie, war films and all that, where landmines, when people are escaping through a place where there are landmines, the way you just don't run and walk on a landmine area. You are careful with your steps. That's exactly, we've reached that season of landmines, spiritual landmines, that if you are not careful, you step on a mine. A mind of wrong doctrine, a mind of falsehood, a mind of deceptive spirits, whatever. So we should be careful of the way we walk in this season. And that's important, that we should have that knowledge of the times in this period of our walk with the Lord. And I believe as we do this, the Holy Spirit is always available to guide us, to help us. Oftentimes, we are the problem. We do not put our trust in Him. We do not focus looking onto Jesus, the author and finisher of our. We don't focus on Christ. We are looking at other. We are looking at men of God. We are looking at people. We are looking at churches, denominations. But you see, denominations can fail. Denominations can mislead. People can make mistakes. But if we look up to Christ, Christ alone, we cannot falter if we are looking up to Christ alone. Oh, yes. You know that we need people, yes, we need denominations, yes. But we should be measured in how we prioritize these things. It should be Christ first and nothing else taking that first position. Christ first. Your pastor cannot replace Christ. You cannot place your leader ahead of Christ. No. I mean, it doesn't work that way. It shouldn't work that way. Anyway, all too soon, the time is up. And, well, this is Eben. Thank you for tuning in, and God bless you for listening. It's recorded, so it will be uploaded to spiritissues.info and then the Telegram group as well. God willing, next week, I'll be coming your way. Thank you, and good night.
And there's no more pain. you crack the sky and the dead arise, I will forever bow and worship you. Said, I'll give you not just a little, not just a part of me. Not just a little, not just a part of me.
just a little, not just a part of me. But I'll give you more.
Say
yeah.